This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 4:30, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the Environmental Stewardship Fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $4 fee that every UK student pays along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by Grace Coy. She's an undergraduate student who received a summer sustainability fellowship to conduct a research and outreach project regarding urban forests. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So can you give me a general overview about what this project consisted of?
Yeah, of course. So this past summer, we were awarded the grant, and with that, we decided to organize community-level workshops to teach general community members about urban forest topics. So our focus for the summer project was urban tree health and teaching people about urban tree benefits and how maximizing the health of your trees can increase the benefits that they provide in the neighborhood. So a lot of the people that we interacted with were in different neighborhood associations around the community. We focused primarily in Lexington, but we did one regional workshop in Frankfurt. So the basic goal was just to engage people in education, and by doing that, empower them to seek more information about urban forests and the enhancement of the tree canopy in general.
Awesome. So a lot of layman's listeners might not know what urban forestry is or what a tree canopy is or why it's important. So would you mind touching on just general information about what those terms mean?
Yeah, so urban forestry is a branch of forestry in which we look exclusively at the interactions between urban settings and green space, particularly in terms of trees and their value in urban settings. So we look particularly at the human dimension and how that plays into green space in a community. So it's a lot about that human-environmental relationship. So what we try to do is communicate a greater level of connection between those two elements, and that way we can empower people to pursue more information about the green space in their communities and eventually engage in stewardship to enhance that. In terms of tree canopy, that's just a phrase that describes how much of the area of the city, whether it be the urban service boundary. That's a lot of the times that's what we use to talk about the area of our canopy, but it's just the area that is covered by tree canopy. So that's branches, leaves. So the amount of area in a city that's covered by that we refer to as a tree canopy. It's often reported as a percentage.
So what kind of benefits do trees in urban spaces and inhabited spaces provide?
So they have a full range of benefits, some economic, some aesthetic, but I'd say the ones we communicate most are stormwater mitigation. They provide aesthetic benefits. They give a calming effect. There's the economic benefits of reducing energy costs. A lot of times trees around buildings can reduce the amount of heat that you use in the wintertime just because they provide a natural block for those cold winds. But also they can reduce the amount of air conditioning because they do shade buildings. So that's just one of the economic benefits that we like to communicate. Another one is property values. So having a really nice canopy in your neighborhood or on your property can increase your property value. So people like to hear that. And I mean, they provide habitat for biodiversity, which is still a critical component even in urban settings. And there's just a whole bunch of them. But that's just some of the ones that we like to talk to people about because it puts it in terms that they value a lot of times. It's the easiest way.
Right. So what topics did your workshop specifically focus on?
So we did tree health and care. So the makeup of the workshop, it was like a 2-hour seminar that we did with them. So the first hour was a lecture on different tree benefits, similar to the ones I just listed. And then also tree health characteristics. So we engaged people in how to look at a tree. So the phrase that we used was look up, down, and all around. And that taught participants how to look at the whole part of the tree, where it's planted, how it's planted, is the canopy in good condition, what does the trunk look like, what can you assume the roots look like underground. That really helped them get a well-rounded perspective on how to assess a tree, whether it be in their yard or a street tree or even just one around where they work. What were you really trying to do is redefine the way that they were looking at those things. So if they did notice something that was off or something that indicated poor health, they could report back on that or even kind of make some assumptions about it and either contact a resource that could mitigate that problem or even do something themselves. So the main goal was engaging them in that type of knowledge and then giving them the resources to act on that later on. We also helped them carry out assessments. So they did their own assessments during the workshop. So they were able to get hands-on experience, walking up to a tree, looking at all the different parts, seeing what was wrong, being able to ask questions to us so they could, you know what was supposed to be there, what wasn't. So we got a lot of great feedback and figuring out what types of questions people were asking. So now we have a lot more insight on what people want to know in terms of urban tree health.
So what communities were you working in? I know you said that you were working within Lexington and a little bit in Frankfort, but specific areas around town, who was affected by these workshops?
So our outreach for the project was it was slightly targeted. So we used venues and outlets of people that we knew. So it was a lot of people that are affiliated with the Urban Forest Initiative. So we had neighborhoods around Lexington, a lot of them middle to upper class neighborhoods that had already been engaged in their canopy. A lot of them had really healthy canopies and they were just interested in learning more about that and how to preserve their old trees. So the dynamic of the group and the makeup of the group is very similar to what we see at a lot of the tree talks and the urban forestry related events that we had been doing in the past. A lot of it, or I think most all of them were within that urban service boundary. So we didn't do any kind of rural or outer Lexington communities. The furthest we went, as I said, was in Frankfort, and we actually conducted that one in a park. So most of the people that we interacted with were people that we either knew one person in the group or they had engaged with UFI before in some way, which our goals for the future kind of shift to extend that a little bit.
So how is Lexington's urban forest looking?
So our canopy has been targeted for some improvement. I'm not sure of what the exact percentage is now. I want to say the last I heard it was either 25 or 35%, which is remarkably low. A lot of that has to do with the ever-changing landscape that we seem to have here in Lexington. We have a lot of construction going on, and trees aren't always the priority in those cases. We are still, jump-starting our kind of environmental movement here. So the past few years, we've seen a lot of advocacy for green space and for the canopy enhancement. So I hope to see that change in the next couple of years. But it's definitely something that we're interested in working on.
So what were the immediate effects that you saw from the workshops that you held?
The most immediate effect were observed through, we did initiate surveys at the end, so we were able to immediately get feedback and see if people were retaining the material that they had just learned. We were getting feedback on the quality of the workshop, so the most immediate observation that we had was the feedback that we got through those surveys and any comments that we got from that. Also, too, during the workshop, the questions that we were getting from people were really some of the most valuable things because it really helped us set a direction for future workshops. Because after doing so many and seeing the same questions come up every time, you start to learn what the concerns of the community are. So that was an unexpected but really incredibly significant outcome of just being there with the people and talking to them, listening to their concerns, and being able to move forward based on those questions and concerns.
So you presented on this work at the Sustainability Forum back in December, and you listed some short and long-term effects. So what are you expecting to come out of this in the long term?
In the long term, we are really hoping to create kind of this community force of tree ambassadors. So by using this type of engagement and environmental education in the form of workshops that are very interactive and very hands-on, we are hoping that the people who attend these events are retaining this material and carrying it forward into their daily lives and pursuing more information on that. So in the long term, we really would like to have representation outside of the Urban Forest Initiative in the community members that we interact with. And that way we can help move forward this local movement that advocates for a healthy tree canopy, for tree awareness, and really just awareness about sustainability in our city. So that's really the long-term intended thing. And we're trying to move forward with that currently.
So how do you see this project fitting in with the three spheres of sustainability, being social equity, economic viability, and economic or environmental integrity? it has obvious environmental benefits, but mm-hmm. As far as the social and economic benefits, where do you see urban forestry fitting in?
So economic benefits, I'll start with that one. So a lot of the preliminary research that we did for this project was to learn how to communicate those economic benefits in regards to urban green space and how that fits in financially. And a lot of times it's hard to assign monetary value to those types of things, especially in a way that's translatable for the public to understand. But what we found is that having a well-functioning, healthy green space in the community, it actually does enhance the economic value of the community as a whole. It beautifies it, increases aesthetic value. People are willing to invest in that area more. There's also a reduction in crime, which is slightly social also.
That's interesting.
But and all around, the benefits that trees collectively provide, I think, just aid itself to an eventual financial benefit. What those numbers actually are, I'm not super sure, but we definitely did look at the different energy saving costs, things like stormwater mitigation. There's a lot of money to be saved if you have a really good canopy put in, especially if you have trees that, you know, like wet feet, they're able to absorb water. You could reduce a lot of stormwater runoff that way. And, you know, I know Lexington has issues with that, or had in the past. So that's just one of the things that, you know, we could look at as a mitigation technique by planting more trees and having more viable green space to help us buffer those issues. As for social, that was one of my concerns for some of the obstacles that we faced. So as I mentioned before, we did have a very I don't want to say exclusive, but it was like a very typical audience for these types of workshops. So what I would like going forward is to increase that social equity factor and to make our outreach more broad. What I would really like to see is that the workshops that we are providing in the future are seen as accessible to a more diverse group of the population. We're willing to work with whatever concerns the community has. And we're trying to be very versatile and just, you know, very intentional with them. And so in terms of social equity, I would like to get into some neighborhoods that we didn't get into, especially like on the periphery of town. But urban forestry as a whole, you know, it increases that sense of community in general. When you have a community that you care about there and you're invested in and that has that aesthetic value that green space often provides, people have measured just a higher sense of well-being and just a, kind of a central, like a heart of the city kind of feeling. You know, people are more willing to invest when it's something worth investing in. And a lot of times green space can uplift that type of feeling, I guess.
Absolutely. So we are actually going to take a quick break and we will be right back talking about some of the current updates on the project.
Support for WRFL is provided in part by Scushel Media. Scushel Media is a bookstore and gift shop in Lexington, selling a selection of new and used books, as well as cards, toys, and other items. Scushel Media is located at 371 South Limestone and can be reached at 859-255-4316. WRFL thanks Scushel for supporting college radio.
This is Braids, and you're listening to WRFL Lexington, Kentucky.
Welcome back. This is Green Talks, and I am Lauren Thomas, the Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. I'm sitting with Grace Coy. She is an undergraduate student working on a project relating to urban forestry workshops. So this started because of a summer sustainability fellowship, but it's actually sort of still going on. So would you mind talking about how this semester is really continuing the project?
Yeah, so this past December, the Urban Forest Initiative, who were, you know, the hosts of this pilot project, we were approved for the Sustainability Challenge Grant. And one of the three branches of that grant, so it's a three-part project. The first part is a continuance of these workshops. And what's different about this spring that we're doing is we are actually going to be conducting it's a 20-hour course for undergraduate students. So that's 5 days, 4 hours each on Saturday mornings. And the objectives for the course are to teach these students in depth about different urban forestry related topics, while also engaging them in learning about the importance of communication with the public, and learning how to speak with the public, how to answer those questions and concerns, and really just teaching them how to organize a workshop like this, because one of our main goals, as I said before, is to extend our reach. So by having more people on the ground carrying out these workshops with a broader network of people, we're going to have more chances to reach more people. So the main goal with that, at least for the spring. So the community workshops won't take place until the summertime, and we haven't started advertising for those yet. But the application for the student workshops is going out very, very soon. And you can contact me at my email. It's Grace, www.coy@uky.edu if you're interested in hearing about that. As I said before, it is for undergraduate students, and that is going to be a Saturday morning course. We are offering a stipend for students who complete the course. So anyone who is selected from our applicant pool will receive a $200 stipend if they complete all five courses. So it's kind of like a job where they're getting $10 an hour for 20 hours, but they are required to complete the course in its entirety. And one of my most exciting developments in it is that on Earth Day, we're actually going to have our participants put on a workshop at different venues around town. So we're still working on that, still definitely in the development phase, but they're really going to get to practice the skills that they've acquired over the past few weeks by being in the classes. And we're getting help from the university and from different community partners. They're going to be sending people to help us teach these courses. So students are also going to increase their green network, and they're going to, you know, meet people that are really invested in really cool projects that we're doing in Lexington. So it's just a really great opportunity, one, to learn more about urban forestry, but also to get the chance at meeting some really great people who are really useful contacts in the field, and who could really open up some doors and opportunities for people later on. And I will say, from our participant pool, we are intending to select two interns for the Urban Forest Initiative. They would be working with me over the summer and potentially being selected in the fall as well. So we're looking into that to expand the group that we have, but also to expand the project outreach over the summer.
That's awesome. That's a really cool opportunity, both of them, to really get involved with not only the campus, but general Lexington community. So that's a really exciting opportunity.
Yeah, I thought it was super. I was almost amazed whenever we had it all drafted out. I was like, wow, I wish I could do that, but I'll be teaching it. So.
You know, you're close enough. So what have you experienced to be the biggest challenge out of all of this? It's a very large project that's really increased in scope, but from the onset to now, what has been your biggest hurdle?
The biggest challenge for me has been really the level of engagement that I would like, and the types of people that I'm wanting to engage with. That's been a lot of it. Like, that's been the biggest challenge for me, is wanting to have such a broad range and for wanting to get into areas that we didn't get into before. Because I had the same intentions last time and it didn't work out. And I have really been working on just my own personal strategy on how to approach different groups and how to let people know that I'm there on their terms and that we're there for them and that we don't necessarily have an overwhelming agenda and that we really just want to answer their questions, you know, and ask them, like, what would you like to see here? So I'm going to try to be a lot more intentional about framing outreach and making it seem accessible for everyone and not just people who are already interested in urban forestry. Because, you know, at the beginning of the broadcast, you even said some people don't really even know what urban forestry is. So just being really clear about that, but also making it into something that could turn into something that is a lot more appealing and informative for them and their lives and their purposes. Because what I really would like to do, the end goal is just to create positive change. You know, in the current environment that we're in, I see a lot of importance in inspiring local movements. So just getting people up and interested, and, you know, even if that's all I do, that's great, but you never know, there could be that select few people who really carry it forward and you know, start taking action with you. So the challenge is just going to be doing that and reaching a variety of people that, you know, so that way I can represent the community and we can have ambassadors from all, you know, quadrants of Lexington. So that's going to be, you know, one of my key goals for the upcoming term.
Awesome. Well, that's actually all I have for you. But thanks so much for coming on and sharing this really awesome project. Do you just want to give a plug one more time to how people can contact you to get involved with either the Urban Forest Initiative or the upcoming workshops?
Yes, of course. So as I mentioned before, if you're interested in getting more information about the workshops, you can email me at grace, G-R-A-C-E, dot coy, C-O-Y, at uky.edu. If you would like more information on the Urban Forest Initiative, you can go to their website. It is uktrees.com. And that's a great way to find out about some of the other things that we're doing in the community. We also run a Facebook page, and that would be at Urban Forest Initiative. So that's just another way to plug in with our social media accounts.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
So as far as some closing announcements, the applications for the Summer Sustainability Fellowships that allowed Grace to start on this project are now open for this summer. You can find those applications at uky.edu/UGResearch. As usual, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. You can also like us on Facebook at UKYSSC or follow us on our Twitter by the same name. I'll be around next week featuring another funded project from the SSC. Thanks so much for listening and keep it locked.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.